Good morning. Welcome to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. It's great to be with you here on this Tuesday. We've got a great show lined up for you. So sit back, relax, and let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving us another day. We thank you for the many blessings that you give to us. We thank you for the gift of your presence, because we know that you're with us wherever we go. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came to earth to live among us, to teach, to die on the cross, and to rise from the dead so that the gates of heaven could be open. We also thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who guides us each day in everything that we do. Father, we ask you to bless us all, to bless our family members, to give us the strength that we need to make it through this day, and above all, to be able to do your will at all times. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's great to be with you once again on Spirit in the Morning. Boy, I love being able to start my day on this show with you. And also, not only do I get to spend some time with you each morning, I get to spend time with my co-host, my buddy, good friend, Mr. David Parker.
Yeah. Good morning, Gary. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the nice compliments.
You're looking good today, big guy.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Not that you don't look good every day, but you look especially good today.
Thank you. You're not so bad yourself, buddy.
I wasn't fishing for compliments.
Okay.
But thank you.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, great show today. We have lined up on the program Dr. Edward Sree. He's going to talk about his new book, Who Am I to Judge? One of the big problems that we run into in the world today is the idea of not being able to ever share our faith or help anybody out in areas of morality. Why? Because we're judging them. But sometimes you need to help somebody out, especially if they're in big trouble spiritually. Mm-hmm. And this is what his book addresses, this is what Dr. Sree's book addresses, this concept of who am I to judge? How can we help people without being accused of being judgmental? Because we want to help them. We want to help them to find Jesus, because let's face it, the world is a pretty dark place at times. A lot of people really need the Lord.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
It's challenging.
And you have to walk a very fine line.
Yes.
I mean, on the judgmental issue, you know, we're told, you know, judge not lest ye be judged. But, I mean, I bring it down to discernment.
Right.
It's part of our discernment about a person and about ourselves.
Correct.
You know, where we are, where we fall on that. I mean, if I'm in grievous sin and I don't know it, and somebody points it out to me, I want them to point it out.
Exactly.
You know?
One of the spiritual works of mercy is admonish the sinner. I mean,
yes.
But you don't do it in a way that, well, we're going to let Dr. Sree talk about it because he's going to do a much better job than I can. But the whole point is, we're not judging the state of somebody's soul, because only God can do that. I don't know, Dave Parker, what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do something that I feel is wrong, morally wrong, I could point out, hey, Dave, I don't think that's the best thing for you to do. But I don't know. You might not know that it's wrong. I can't judge what Dave Parker knew that it was wrong.
Exactly.
And that's what who am I to judge really means. But Dr. Sree, you'll hear him, because I've read the book. It's a really, really good book. And what he talks about is that when we do this, when we point somebody in the right direction, we're doing it out of love. Or we should do it out of love, because we care about them.
Yes. And sometimes that love, when we use the word love, is not all, you know, all fluffy and easy.
Right.
I mean, it could be harsh.
Right.
And it could be a wake-up call.
Right. So in other words, we're doing it because we care about the eternal well-being of somebody. We want them to get to heaven. So more about
thanks,
that.
Well, thanks, Gary. I want you to get to heaven too, man.
Yeah. So by the way, Dave, I need to talk to you about something. No, we'll talk after the show. Also on the program today, we have another very interesting guest, Kevin Matthews. He's a former radio personality. He was recently named to the all-time list of top 20 radio personalities. He was a household name in the Chicago area for over 17 years. This guy was big, Dave, in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
He had he came down with multiple sclerosis on the air one day His arm was paralyzed on the air. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
He had a major, major conversion experience. He wrote a book called Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. Mm. We're going to be talking to Kevin Matthews.
I got chills. That just gave me chills.
You need, wait till you hear what he has to say. Mm. This book is a phenomenal book, Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. It's all about hope. If you feel hopeless with the situation in your life, you need to hear Kevin Matthews. And he's going to be talking to us later in the program. We'll also have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. And a reminder, tomorrow's a big day, Mr. Parker.
Yes, it is.
Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, yes, it is. The first day of Lent. And are we ready, folks? Have we decided from our discernment running up to this what we're going to give up?
Right. Now, we're going to help you because that's the type of guys we are. We like to help you here on the program. The Best Lent Ever program, run by Dynamic Catholic Matthew Kelly, is going to be joining us by recorded segments throughout all of Lent. We're going to play his messages for Best Lent Ever every day on the show. But here's what I recommend that you do. I recommend you sign up for the Best Lent Ever program. And you can also get the emails delivered right to your inbox each day. You can do that by going to bestlentever.com. And you know the best thing about this program is it's going to cost you nothing. There is no charge for this. So sign up for bestlentever.com. And to make it easier, we're going to play the messages for you each day on the program. Let's make this our best Lent ever. We don't know if we're going to have another Lent. So let's make this one our best Lent ever. Not to be negative, but let's be realistic. We have no idea how many more Lents we will have on this earth. Why not make it our best one ever? As Matthew Kelly has said, don't just give up chocolate. Mm-hmm. And look, let's face it, a lot of people have been saying this. I know Father Larry Richards has mentioned this. Jonette Benkovic has talked about this. And, of course, Matthew Kelly. There's nothing wrong with giving something up for Lent. That's a good thing because it makes us realize that we're pretty attached to the things of the world. So it's okay to give something up. But when we just give something up, and that's our sole focus. In other words, I can't have chocolate today. I can't have sweets. No sweets, no sweets. Boy, 3 more weeks and I can have sweets. And the whole focus is on that. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I lived this for many years, Dave.
Yes, yes.
Then it becomes a problem. We want, during Lent, to grow closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You want to be closer to Him on Easter Sunday than you were tomorrow on Ash Wednesday. That's the whole point. We want to get closer to Him. Giving up something, yeah, that's part of it, but we want to do something
else,
right?
Well said, Gary. Well said. Absolutely. Yes, it has to be meaningful.
It has to be meaningful.
Why just go through an exercise and futility, and at the end, oh, I did this, and we pat ourselves on the back.
Yes.
But what have we gained?
Yes.
You know?
So that's the whole point of this Best Lent Ever program. It's based on Matthew Kelly's book, Resisting Happiness, which is a phenomenal book. And trust me, this is going to be good. I'll tell you, otherwise I wouldn't have it on the program. I wouldn't be working with the Dynamic Catholic people to bring this Best Lent Ever program to Spirit in the Morning. It's going to be good. Trust us. Dave Parker and myself, we're going to do it. My family's doing Best Lent Ever. We ask you to do it with us. Mm-hmm. Right on the show, you're going to hear the messages. Can't make it any easier.
I know. Yes.
Maybe we could come to their house, Dave.
Right? Exactly. Journey with us.
That's
right. Let us journey with you.
That's exactly right. Let's look at today's gospel. Boy, Dave Parker.
Yes, Gary Zimak.
Speaking about giving something up, listen to this gospel today.
Oh, boy.
Comes
I'm
from
ready.
Mark,
I'm sitting.
chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you, Jesus." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first."
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That is so powerful.
Jesus is not saying, "I need you to give up chocolate. I need you to give up sweets. I need you to give up TV. He's saying, "I need you to give up your life if you want to follow me."
Yeah, for me. Come follow me.
And that's the question. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up your life? Now, some people give up their life in a very literal sense. We have martyrs who give up their lives for the Lord. But you know what? We're all called. And I find this very, very challenging. But it's something I know that I have to do. And each day we make this decision, Lord, I give my life to you. I turn it over to you. And you, when you do that, we'll go back to Sunday's gospel. When you do that, all of a sudden, your anxieties begin to fade because you realize you're not in control anymore. Guess what? You were never in control to start with.
Yeah.
We like to think we are.
Yeah.
But sometimes, as you'll hear in the case of Kevin Matthews, our guest coming up soon on the program, he had everything going for him. He was a major, major radio star. And all of a sudden, his life was turned upside down. But yet, he found peace in the midst of that suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because he realized that the Lord was in charge, and he gave his life over to the Lord.
Absolutely.
So if you want to give up something for Lent, how about that? How about giving up your life?
Yes.
That's
Now's the time, folks.
You might
have been, you know, tiptoeing around the edges, so to speak, and, something comes up, and you say, I really trust in Jesus. But then like I have, and then we go back to our old ways. So now's the time to make that commitment.
Yeah, and he's promising us we will be repaid. We will get more than we can ever imagine, not just in the next life, not just in heaven, where we all hope to end up one day, but he's saying in this life, what's he going to give us in this life? He's going to give us his peace. So the closer we grow to Jesus Christ, the more peace we're going to have in this life. Give it a try. What have you got to lose, right? Your misery, your anxiety? Give it a try. Turn your life over to Jesus Christ. I am living proof. I'm telling you, I have struggled with anxiety. Everybody knows the story. It's a very well-known story. I'm an open book with my anxiety. I've lived that life. I never want to go back to the other way. With Jesus Christ, I have more peace now than I ever have had before. Now, we're going to come back with Dr. Edward Sree to talk about his new book, Who Am I to Judge? I ask you to sit back, to relax, to stay tuned, and to enjoy the interview. Dave and I are going to be here. We're going to hang out with you for the entire hour. Coming up later in the hour, Kevin Matthews is going to share his story of Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. If you're feeling hopeless today, stick around because you need to hear that story. We'll also have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, and we are going to help to get you prepared for Lent, which happens tomorrow. Ash Wednesday's tomorrow. Let's get ready, and let's make a point of making this Lent of 2017, our best Lent ever. Grab a cup of coffee. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 28th. Today we celebrate Blessed Daniel Brotier. Daniel spent most of his life in the trenches, one way or another. Born in France in 1876, he was ordained in 1899 and began a teaching career that didn't satisfy him for long. Wanting to use his zeal for the gospel far beyond the classroom, Daniel joined the Missionary Congregation of the Holy Spirit, which sent him to Senegal, West Africa. After 8 years there, his health was suffering. He was forced to return to France, where he helped raise funds for the construction of a new cathedral in Senegal. At the outbreak of World War I, Daniel became a volunteer chaplain, spending 4 years at the front. He risked his life time and again in ministering to the suffering and dying. Miraculously, he didn't suffer a single wound during his time at the front. After the war, he was invited to help establish a project for orphaned and abandoned children in a Paris suburb. He spent the final 13 years of his life there. Daniel died in 1936 and was beatified in Paris by Pope John Paul II only 48 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Remember when you wonder if you
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak, glad to have you with us. And I'm blessed today to have with us on the program Dr. Edward Sree. He's a professor of theology at the Augustine Institute and a founding leader with Curtis Martin of Focus. He's written several books. He's a popular speaker. And his latest book is Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. This is a great topic. I can't wait to discuss it. Dr. Sree, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I love the book. Relativism is a very big problem nowadays. If you could, before we get into the book, what would be a definition of relativism?
Oh, I mean, very simply, for the average layman, relativism is the idea that there's no truth. There's no moral truth. You know, what's true for you isn't true for me. You know, everyone makes up their own morality. Don't impose your morality on me. And it's so prevalent in our culture. This is just the air we breathe, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And anymore, if we try to express our opinion on matters of morality, we're judging or we're being haters.
Exactly. You know, I meet so many, even really good people. I mean, these are people that maybe even go to Mass every Sunday. I meet them at conferences around the country, but they're so afraid today. They're so afraid to say that there's anything right and wrong. They're afraid to talk about marriage. They're afraid to talk about morality because they don't want to be beaten up by the culture. They're afraid of what their family's going to think, that their friends will think they're judgmental, their coworkers will think they're intolerant. And so what's happening in this environment we're living in, that many good Christians are just cowering. They're instead of being light to the world, we're putting light under our bushel basket. And that's why I wrote this book. I wanted to give Catholics and all people of goodwill just really good practical tools for how can you talk to your friends about morality in a very compassionate, loving way, but also a very compelling way. We need greater confidence that there really is a moral order, and that's what the book is trying to do.
And you make the point in the book that following God's law is not designed to make us unhappy and to take away our freedom. Following God's law will make us happy because he knows what makes us tick. He created us. So if we follow his law, that's the way to true happiness, correct?
Exactly. Like many times I think Christians say the moral law, the Ten Commandments, these things are just like hoops we have to go through for, you know, to be a good Christian, you know, be a good person and get to heaven. That's not what the moral law is about. It's like the instruction manual, you know, that God gave us.
Right.
You know, you buy an iPhone, it gives it instructions, don't use in water, because if you go swimming with it, you'll break your iPhone. Well, the same is true. That's what the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes are all about. It's God's instruction manual. He's the divine manufacturer. He made us. He knows how we work. He knows if we'll do certain things, we'll be happy. But if we do other things, we're not going to be happy. We'll hurt others and hurt ourselves. That's what the moral law is about. It's about our happiness.
Right. And the reason we are trying to share this with others is out of love. It's not out of judgment.
Exactly. You know, one of the things I have been speaking about as I present all around the country on this is a simple distinction between, you know, making a judgment and judging someone's soul. Because I think that's what people are afraid of. They think, well, if I say marriage is between a man and woman, or I say that abortion is wrong, or, you know, or whatever, you know, the issue is that I'm a judgmental person. But I think you can make a judgment. God gave us a mind. He wants us to use it. And we can do that without being a judgmental, intolerant person. So, for example, I can look at somebody and say, you know, if there's some college student there in Philadelphia, let's say some university student, and this gal is sleeping around with one man after another, I can use my mind to make a judgment. That's not good for her. She's not going to be happy. She's not going to find the love she's looking for.
Right.
I'm not judging her soul.
Right.
Big difference there. That's between her and God alone. I don't know her status before God. I don't know her background, what wounds she's carrying. You know, that's just between her and God alone. We never judge the soul. But if we love people, we can use our mind, make a judgment. That's not good for her. And if I love her, I want to tell her, hey, there's a better way. You know, you'll find greater happiness, greater relationships if you follow God's plan for love and sex, not what the world is feeding you.
Right. Now, in the book, you very brilliantly, and I love the way you do this, you identify seven keys for responding to relativism. I know we don't have a lot of time, but could you briefly just walk us through these keys so we can get an idea of how it is that we can respond in a way that will actually help somebody?
Yeah, I think some of the keys are, you know, the one thing, as I mentioned, is lead with mercy.
Right.
We can't just present the moral truth. This is wrong. Don't do this. We have to also present people hope that they can live this moral law. So that's the good, the full truth of God's gospel, is the good news of grace. Not just don't do this, but that God's grace is there to forgive you for the times you've made mistakes, and it's there to help you to live this law. If all we do is come in and say, hey, stop doing this, many people will give up in despair, and they think, I've got this addiction to whatever it is, pornography,
right,
or I'm in this really difficult, you know, situation with my girlfriend, and I just can't get out of this. And they just think that they're in impossible situations they can never change. Mm. We need to give them hope, not just the condemnation of don't do this. They need hope that there's grace to help them. That's really important. Lead with mercy.
Mm.
You know, the other one was what I just talked about, the difference between judging a soul and judging, you know, just making a judgment. That we just talked about that. I think a third one that I'm finding is really resonating with people is, you know, what do we do when our friends say, hey, don't be so intolerant, or why is the church so judgmental?
Right.
You find yourself in these situations, and I give people a simple one-liner to help push back a little bit, and it's simply this. The next time someone says to you, hey, you know, why are you being so intolerant, just come back and say, excuse me. Are you judging me?
Yeah, I love that. Yes, that's true.
I love it because, you know, our secular friends aren't expecting the Christian to play the don't judge card.
Right.
But the reason I think this is helpful is it kind of puts things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Our relativistic friend, they think that they're the humble, you know, neutral position. You know, we get along with everyone.
Right.
We're neutral. We're like the moral Switzerland.
Right.
But what we want to do is come back and say, hey, my friend, you know, it sounds like you don't believe that there is a real right and wrong for everyone, that everyone could decide for themselves what marriage is, you know, whether we should care for the poor, you know, how we use our sexuality, how we care for the environment. Everyone just decides for themselves, you know, and if you want to believe in this relativism, if you want to have faith that there's no moral structure to the universe, you know, you're free to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But my dear friend, please do not impose your faith in relativism on me.
Wow.
Because that's what's going on. Relativism is a way of looking at the world. It is a philosophy of life. It
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a religion. And people are free to believe it, but I'm not convinced of that religion, so don't impose it on me. That's what we need to do.
I like that. That's something we don't typically think to do. Another one of the keys you mentioned is one that we wouldn't think of necessarily. Relativism wounds people. We think as relativism is, oh, I accept everything, everything's good, I don't bother them, they don't bother me, but it actually is harmful to us.
Yeah, relativism isn't just a bad philosophy of life, it actually ruins people's lives. And here's why. You know, when we live in a relativistic culture, the way we train, you know, children as they're growing up and the next generation, you know, is simply we give them no moral compass. All we do is tell them, do whatever you want, be your own person, you get to decide for yourself what's right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a culture, you know, people that grow up in this, they're deeply wounded. I work with young people. I work with FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a lot of young adults around the country, and they've experienced the heartache of this relativistic culture. Just take the area of sexuality,
mm-hmm.
where they're told to just do whatever you want with your sexuality, express yourself, there is no right and wrong. These men and women, I talk to them, it's not working for them. They admit how insecure they feel in their relationships, the hurts they feel, how they've been let down, how they felt used. They don't really believe a lasting love is possible.
Mm.
Do we wish more pain on this next generation? Let's give them a roadmap. There's a plan for sexuality that God has given us, and it leads to happiness. And yet the world is withholding this from the next generation. And I meet a lot of parents, a lot of adults, people that get married and they're struggling in their marriage. We don't know, you know, why is there all this tension here? We didn't expect this. Or they're trying to figure out, how do I raise kids? I don't know how to raise teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole art to living life, the art of the virtues, the art of marriage and family and love and relationships and friendship that is in our Catholic tradition that is just being withheld from people. And so when we live, all we give these people is just relativism. Just do whatever you want.
Right.
They have no compass, no guide for their life. They don't know how to live life well, and it leaves them with great scars.
And you make the point in the book, this is a point that is very not very frequently made, especially in the world today. You make the point that the moral law comes from God's love, but it's actually the last thing that you ever hear, especially in the world for the most part. You hear the law is restrictive. The law is meant to take away your fun, but it's actually coming from God's love.
Exactly. It's an expression of God's love. You know, it's like with my kids. You know, if I, you know, make a rule, you know, I've got a daughter that likes to cut her hair now. I'm
mm-hmm.
an old 2.5-year-old, and I have to train her not to do that because she could hurt herself. It's certainly not making her look pretty. I have to train her not to touch a stove. She likes to come over and help mom during cooking time, but I have to train her for these things. And so when I give her these laws, don't cut your hair or don't touch the stove, it's not because I'm trying to control her. I'm not on a power trip with my toddler. It's because I love her.
Right.
And so this, again, is like, you know, the relativistic culture, it actually keeps us from loving people. What we're doing is just saying, you know, you do whatever you want. Just let me do whatever I want. That's not love. I mean, that's just, you know, the best our secular world can offer is just mere tolerance. Let's just tolerate each other, you know. And don't get me wrong, but we should respect people from all different religious backgrounds, all different moral lifestyles, because they still have dignity no matter what they believe and what they do. They have dignity as being made in the image and likeness of God, and we should respect them. At the same time, I'm called to do more than just respect them from a distance. Jesus invites us to love people. But you know what moral relativism does? It prevents us from loving. It just says, again, I just become indifferent. So if I have a family member that's living in a moral lifestyle, it's just like, well, I won't say anything because I don't want to rock the boat. But that's not love. I mean, if I see a family member struggling with alcoholism, for example, real love is, I want to go have an intervention like Alcoholics Anonymous advises us to do. You know?
Exactly.
I want to bring people together and say, Uncle Billy, we love you. And it's because we love you, we notice what you're doing and it hurts us. And we see how you're hurting Aunt Sally. And that's love. But think about what a relativist of the culture would say. A relativist of the culture says, well, you know, I wouldn't do that. But if Uncle Billy wants to do it, that's his life. I'm not going to mess with his marriage. And I just become indifferent. That's not love. The culture is creating us and forming us into islands. As opposed to being a community of a civilization of love, as John Paul II would describe it.
Who am I to judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love by Dr. Edward Sree. Doctor, before we let you go, there is also a DVD version. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we have the book,
right?
And the book I wrote to make really easy to read for every kind of person, even high school kids I know are using it in schools today. So it's really easy to read, break it down easily. But we have a DVD set that's an 8-week study that people can use for men's groups, for women's groups, for Bible study groups, for parish faith formation. You know, as I talk to pastors and deacons and DREs around the country, you know, I ask them, what are you doing to form your parishioners in a moral worldview? I ask parents the same thing. What are you doing to form your kids in a moral worldview? And all these parishes have great programs for Bible studies and RCIA and marriage. But on the critical issues that where people are really feeling the pain today, where they really, I need help, we're doing nothing. So I'm hoping that this study, Who Am I to Judge, it's also the book, but you can also get the DVD sets, can be used, whether it's for families to train their kids or for men and women's groups, you know, parish groups, that we can really pass on a Catholic moral worldview. And they can find out about that video study and the book at a webpage. It's at our school where I teach in Denver. It's called the Augustine Institute. They go to AugustineInstitute.org/encounter. So AugustineInstitute.org/encounter, and they can learn more about the study and the book there. There's free video clips they could look at. They could also go to my website, just simply my name, Edward Sree, S-R-I. So S-R-I is my last name, edwardsree.com. And again, I've got video clips and links there as well.
Wonderful. And we will have that linked at Spirit in the Morning. Dr. Sree, I know you're a busy person. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us on Spirit in the Morning.
Hey, thank you so much for having
me. All right, God bless.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump makes his first speech to a joint meeting of Congress tonight, and aides say he'll claim progress on some of his campaign promises. Congressional Republicans are hoping for clarity on key issues like health care as they struggle to find a path to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. In the past few days, Islamic State militants in Egypt's volatile northern Sinai region have abducted four men accused of collaborating with the government. Two of them have been found killed while the others remain missing. Women are being threatened with punishment if they don't wear body-covering clothes, and the militants have set up checkpoints on roads near the Gaza Strip. Passengers are forced to recite from the Quran before being allowed to pass, according to area residents and tribal leaders. The extremists have repeatedly targeted Christians, causing more than 100 Christian families to flee. And money is now being raised to repair and restore more than 100 headstones that were vandalized at a Jewish cemetery in Philadelphia. A man visiting Mount Carmel Cemetery on Sunday called police to report that three of his relatives' headstones had been knocked over and damaged. The discovery came less than a week after similar vandalism in Missouri. Police say approximately 100 additional headstones were knocked over, apparently sometime after dark on Saturday. Police are conducting an investigation. The Anti-Defamation League and a police union are offering a $13,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Theodore Geisel's art teacher told him he couldn't draw, and publishers said he couldn't write. His Dartmouth College fraternity voted him least likely to succeed. But as a student at Oxford University in England, he received one sentence of praise, which was enough to motivate him to continue his dream of becoming a writer and educator. That sentence was uttered during a class when Geisel drew a cow with wings, an acrobat's body, and a mischievous expression. Helen Palmer, a doctoral student in English literature, told him, "That's a very fine flying cow." Well, Geisel is now better known as best-selling children's author Dr. Seuss, and he wound up marrying his encourager, Helen Palmer. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Believe it, you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you need freedom, a savior, he's
was Chainbreaker by Zach Williams. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Right now, let me do a quick look at the weather forecast for the Philadelphia vicinity, Philadelphia area and vicinity. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 45 degrees. Today, we're going to have a chance of showers mainly after 5 p.m. with a high near 66. Tonight, showers mainly before 1 a.m. with a low around 55. Wednesday, we'll have some showers and thunderstorms, but with a high near 75 degrees. All right, for all you who may be hopeless, who may feel that the Lord has deserted you, who may be facing what seems to be an impossible situation, I am so glad to have my next guest on with me right now. Kevin Matthews was one of the most recognized radio personalities in broadcasting, and recently he was named to the all-time list of top 20 radio personalities. He was a household name in the Chicago area for over 17 years, and at one time he entertained 10 million listeners a week. Incredible. Mm. He had an incredible experience that happened on the air when he was stricken with multiple sclerosis. We're going to bring him on now and talk about his book, Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. Good morning, Kevin. How are you, brother?
I'm great, Gary, and it's so nice to be on the air, and thank you for the invite.
Oh, man. Kevin, I have to tell you, your book blew me away. I read it in one night. What an incredible story.
You know, I'm so blessed to have that book. It's just a reference point for me because so much has happened in 5 years. It's amazing.
Kevin, take us. Let's go through your story a little bit. You were on top of the world, very successful radio personality. When that was happening, how was your faith?
It was there. It was never a resource. I never said, "Hey, let's go back and really take it in." It was there. I was just an everyday Catholic, and yeah, I loved God and I believed in God, but I was busier. I was bigger than God. I was too busy for Him. At the same time, I was having a beautiful life and I had a great family and friends but again, it was there. It was just something that, you know, I thought about.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. Now, there's obviously a lot of pressure when you're doing secular radio. Here at Holy Spirit Radio, we can talk about Jesus all the time. We're expected to do that. We do that. Were you feeling conflicted a little bit, Kevin, with your inner faith and the inability to talk about the Lord on the air?
You know, but I did. And you'd get reprimanded for that. But the same time, I wanted to say this book, what's so fascinating about the book is my religion, my love of Christ really began when I was 4 years old. Hmm. I lived in a horrid neighborhood, poverty, and I got Jesus to me as a four-year-old was this big thing that was going to protect me. So that's where my love for Jesus came in. Hmm. And at the same time, now I'm on the radio. And you're right. It was really, it was a real tough putt. But I did it. But what I ended up doing is I used to do and still do a lot of charity events.
Right.
That's how I really was able to, you know, jump into that arena.
Yeah, and
talking about God.
And you mentioned in your book that you kept hearing that voice. Mm-hmm. Will you deny me publicly? Right.
Oh. Yeah,
even though you're doing the charity things, talking about Jesus, that's a whole different ball game.
Right, and I'll tell you what. Right now, I would fine if I fire me. I've been fired quite a bit, and I was never going to have that happen. Bottom line is, if push comes to shove, I'm going to talk about God. That's always been the case, but when I heard that voice, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? It is, that's when I found the statue of Mary, the statue lying next to a dumpster.
Okay.
And she's broken in half. She's lying in trash. And that's when I vividly heard this voice, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? And I had to go into the flower shop and ask and plead to get this statue, which I did. And the story is when this statue comes together, how it's changed so many lives, my life and lives around the world. She's literally touching lives around the world.
Kevin, obviously your story is too big to do in one interview. That's why before we go on with this, I want to have you back on the show because people need to hear. Would you come back on someday?
Oh, I would love to.
Good.
Yes.
Because I want to take time with this story.
Yeah, because it's amazing. It's amazing. And I can talk about the story in the past, but what's happening now, Mary is so, it is unbelievable what is happening. I'm going to Fatima.
Wow.
This Saturday.
Awesome.
It's amazing. And I would just, when in doubt, there are so many people that might have hardships right now listening. I don't care how hard it is. You can give God the garbage of your life, the worst of the worst of the worst. Mm-hmm. That's why he's there. That's why Mary is there. And it can really change your life. What I love about Mary is she's our mother, and she loves us. And the rosary. The rosary is such a powerful prayer. I didn't even know how to say the rosary. Now I lead the rosary.
Wow.
You can go to brokenmary.com and download, and the rosary is being heard all over the world. Is when you hold the rosary, you are holding the hand of Mary, the mother of Christ, and that's the power of God when you hold that rosary. And anything can happen. Whether you know, if you don't know how to say the rosary, hold the rosary and hold Mary close to your heart.
That is such a powerful message. And I knew this would happen. I knew I would run out of time. We have about less than a minute left, Kevin. And I want to, in future, when I have you back on again, I want to really go into your story, how the MS really changed your life. But right now, I know somebody who's listening is feeling hopeless. They feel that whatever they're facing is just a completely hopeless situation. As someone who's been there, as someone who's felt that, what would you say to that person?
Challenge that hopelessness and immediately just, I'm not kidding you, especially if anything, just ask Mary. And God said, Jesus said, if my mother is happy, then I am happy.
Mm.
And just reach out and give it all to Mary. Just give it to Jesus. Give it the biggest mess you got in the world. Give it and believe, and it'll turn around. It will turn around.
I love that message. Kevin, where's the best place to get the book?
You know, I would go Amazon.com.
Okay.
Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. BrokenMary.com, you can get it there, too.
Oh,
and
okay.
Also, hear the rosary and read more about the story at BrokenMary.com.
Excellent. And we will have that linked at SpiritInTheMorning.com. Kevin, we are definitely going to get you back on, brother. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank
God
you so much for joining us. Kevin Matthews talking about his book, Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. We will be hearing more from him in the near future on Spirit in the Morning. When we come back, Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
You could see the smoke from a mile away, and trouble always draws a crowd. They wanna tell me that it'll be okay, but that's not what I need right now. Not while my house is burning down. I know someday, I know somehow I'll be okay, but not right now. Not right now. Tell me if the
that you know is true never feels like a lie even from a friend. When the words are salt in an open wound and they just can't seem to understand that you haven't even stopped the bleeding yet. I know someday, I know somehow I'll be okay, but not right now. No, not right now. Don't tell me when I'm this happened for a reason. Maybe one day we'll talk about the dreams that had to die for new ones to come alive, but not right to clear. You don't even have to speak, just sit with me in the ashes here and together we can pray for peace to the one acquainted with our grief. I know someday, I know someday
And that was Not Right Now by Jason Gray. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Let's take a look. Boy, wasn't that a great interview with Kevin Matthews,
oh, yes.
Dave Parker?
Oh.
And Dr. Sri. I mean, this is a great show today.
I know. Yes.
We have great guests on this program.
Yeah. Pat yourself on the back.
Well, not
no,
me.
Really. You
no,
should.
No, it's the guests.
I mean, it's... Oh. Praise God.
God is so good to us. And I always try to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, let me know who we should have on the show. And he's leading us to some great people.
Absolutely. And Kevin's story was just, it just gave me goose flesh,
yeah.
Goosebumps.
Yeah.
And wow, what a...
And we just scratched the surface. And I knew that would happen. In a 10-minute interview, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
We're going to have Kevin Matthews back on the
yeah.
program.
Because I have a feeling he'll be back.
Yeah. You need to hear his story, because especially if you're here feeling hopeless. You need to hear that story. And I recommend Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. You can find information for how you can order that on spiritinthemorning.com. And the same for Dr. Sri's book, Who Am I to Judge? All the info you need is on spiritinthemorning.com. The Be Not Afraid Bible verse, which comes from my latest book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. This is going to sound very familiar because we just heard this a few days ago. Matthew 6:34, the words of Jesus. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Very simple, but and very powerful.
But what the Lord is telling us here is to focus on the present moment, to be in the moment. He is not saying don't save money for the future. He's not saying don't make plans for the future. What he's saying is do not worry about the future.
Exactly.
There's a huge difference there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we let our minds run away with what might happen, And essentially what we're doing when we do that is saying, Lord, I don't trust you.
Exactly.
I don't trust that you love me enough so that anything that happens to me, even if it's not pleasant, will benefit me in some way. We're saying, I don't trust you, Lord, or I don't want to suffer.
Yeah, we have enough for today, so why heap on tomorrow's made up in our minds stuff that may never happen?
Right.
It may never happen.
And that's the key. We spend so much time worrying about things that don't ever happen.
Exactly.
I am so guilty of this. And in fact, I go out all around the country and speak, preach this message. It's true. I lived this for so many years. Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, how do you not do it? I think that's the question that comes up.
Good question.
The only way to stop worrying is to get to know Jesus better.
And start living, right?
Yeah, right. Because otherwise, those of us who tend to be anxious, we can't just not worry. It's very difficult for us to do that. So what we need to do is look at the Gospels, get to know Christ, spend some time in adoration, try to get to daily Mass if you can, go to confession. All of these things, when you start doing them, bring you closer to our Lord. And in fact, I've been speaking about this. I will be speaking about this all week on Women of Grace. Put in a little plug for my TV appearance. Mm-hmm. Women of Grace TV with Johnette Bankovic, 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. on EWTN TV all this week. My message is about growing closer to Jesus.
Yeah, and I listened to some of it this morning before departing for the station. But, Gare, I got to say this. You clean up well.
I don't always wear
that suit. I did a double, maybe a triple take. Is that Gary? Wow.
And one of our listeners, Chris, I know you're listening. You're a great listener, and you always send me these inspirational emails. You watched the show yesterday, and thank you for your kind words, Chris. It's always great to hear from you, brother. Following up on that Be Not Afraid Bible verse, the Pope in his Sunday Angelus address, Pope Francis said this, "While earthly pleasures, such as power and money, bring temporary satisfaction, they are ultimately fleeting and deceptive." He said that God alone is faithful, and in trusting in Him, we have nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
the message.
If you want to bank with anyone, bank with the Lord, not temporary fleeting things.
I like that. I like that, Dave. Pope Francis said, "God is not a distant or an anonymous being. He's our refuge, the source of our serenity and our peace. He is the rock of our salvation to whom we can cling with the certainty of not falling. He is our defense against the evil that is always lurking." And Pope Francis went on to say this, Dave, "We don't realize that we have a friend, a father who loves us. We prefer to cling to immediate and contingent goods, forgetting and at times refuting the supreme good, which is the paternal love of God."
Yeah, that's it. That's the essence of our belief and in Christ.
And that's what Lent is all about. Lent is the opportunity for us to recognize that we cling to these material possessions and comfort.
And too
to,
much.
Right? And too to much. Turn to the Lord and try to break some of those chains. We listened to the song Chain Breaker by Zach Williams.
Absolutely.
Not too long ago. We need to break some of those chains that hold us back.
Exactly.
That keep us away from the Lord. And Lent is the perfect time to do that.
And can I go back to what Kevin said? I mean, it just struck me. I mean, even if you didn't know how to pray the rosary, as he said, but then there are people out there, hold the rosary. Hold, and ask Mary. Just, you know, I mean, what a place to start. What a powerful vision I had of that. Holy cow.
Dave, I'm so glad you brought that up. And Kevin said when you're holding the rosary, you're holding Mary's hands.
Exactly.
Her hand. Something he said in the book that he did mention in the interview, that when you hold those rosary beads, and I was thinking of this as I was praying my rosary driving up to the station this morning, you're holding the life of Christ in your hands. Because the meditations, that's what we're doing with the rosary. We're meditating upon the life of Christ. It's the gospel in our fingertips. And just holding those beads. Dr. Greg Popchak has talked about this in the past. We've had a discussion about this matter. Holding those beads in your hand, even if you don't understand the rosary, there's comfort that comes from there.
Yeah, deep down inside, you may not, your logic is saying, well, why am I holding these beads? But if you, but notice you're clinging to them.
Yep.
And you'll work it out. You'll come to believe.
That's right. You're holding your mom's hand, just like when you were a small child. Boy, I love that image. Let's conclude with our prayer today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Increase in us, Lord, the faith you have given us, and bring to a harvest worthy of heaven the praise we offer you at the beginning of this new day. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of Amen. The Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for joining us on the program today. Remember, you can follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com. If you need anything, if you have any comments about the show, you can always email me at gary@holyspiritradio.org. Dave Parker, yeah.
Boy,
it's always
did
a pleasure.
It fly. Yeah. This show flew today.
Yeah, I
wow.
know. What a great time.
It was. Yeah, it was.
I love hanging
Hang
out
on,
with
folks.
You, Dave.
It's getting better.
Yeah, yeah, and we're going to continue yes. to bring it to
thank
you.
Thank you, Gary. I'm so blessed to be here.
One quick reminder, on Saturday, we will be doing a special four-hour version of Spirit in the Morning live from Woo-hoo. Man Up Philly at St. Joseph's University. You do not want to miss that. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. Relax. And also turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.